Tonight, the book of Philippians, please. Book of Philippians. Philippians for you hillbillies like me. Book of Philippians, chapter number 1. It's been a good spirit here all this week, and I appreciate the Lord doing that. Philippians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you have a Scofield Bible, find that on page 1257. And can't find it there, just look down where you are. No one will ever know the difference. Philippians chapter 1. Let's stand if you're physically able. I'll read verse number 6 to you and then bring you the message that I feel the Lord has dealt with my heart about tonight. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, that's important, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again tonight for our Bible. Thank You, Lord, for giving us an authority that reveals the will of God for our lives. Every question I've ever had, Lord, I found in the pages of this blessed old book. I thank You for it. I thank You, Lord, for Sunday. Thank You for what You did in both services. We need You yet, Lord, again tonight. I wonder, what will I say unto this people? What do I have to say, Lord, that could help someone tonight? And I must confess that within myself I am nothing. So I yield myself to You. I pray, God, that You would place Your Holy Spirit upon us tonight, and that, Lord, You'll use me to be a vessel to speak through me unto Thy people. Lord, as we prepare our hearts for camp meeting, we realize that tonight, right now, in this room, there are needs represented in lives. I pray that every one of those needs will be met in this service. Lord, that we'll see a spirit of revival break out among the people of God. I pray, Lord, for the time of invitation, that, Lord, You would bless this altar. Help us to realize tonight that the invitation is not the end of the service, but it's the reason for the service. I pray now, have Your way, and we'll thank You for all You do. We ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you might be seated. On Sunday morning, we preached a message on We Have an Altar. Last night, we preached a message on We Have a Companion. I'm glad that companion is an eternal companion. Tonight in our verse, I want to bring to your attention this one word that you find in verse number 6, the word perform. And tonight, if God would be my helper, I want to preach on the subject, We Have a Performer. And I'm glad tonight that God is a performer. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that you and I can rest assured of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is a performer. Now, when I think about a performer, I think about sometimes the Hollywood version of it, or Nashville's version of it. I think about New York's version of it, where someone will stand on a stage and perform to your entertainment. But God is beyond any of that type of performance. For God does not do His performing on a stage. But God elects to perform in the lives of men and women. God has brought every one of us in this room a long way. If I could put it in this manner, I remember the night that God saved me. Just as you stood and testified about the night you got saved, I personally felt like that I was the most undeserving individual upon this earth to be saved. I knew there were things in my life that if my mother knew about it, she'd probably give me a spanking. If my dad knew some of the things that I'd done, he'd probably punish me with a curfew. But you know, as I went down to that altar, I knew in my heart, God knows everything I've ever done. And yet in spite of all those things, the Bible said that He began a good work in me. First of all, He separated me from my sins. Secondly, He wrote my name down in heaven. Thirdly, He adopted me as His beloved child. I'm so grateful tonight for the day that I met the Lord Jesus Christ, because He performed in my life a good work. Then God, as I said a moment ago, 6 months later, called me to be a preacher. And again, I found reason to say no to Him. I remember in school as we had to stand and give oral reports, and I've heard preachers all over America say this. And it seems like those are the ones that God ends up calling to the ministry. But I would not stand in front of that class. I was afraid to get up in front of them. I've taken Fs on oral reports before. I had it finished. I was ready to give it. But when it come time to get up there, I just could not make myself go. You said, well, Brother Hatfield, what's the difference? The difference is that God began a good work in me. And when God began that good work in my life, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There will be times that you're not going to be so proud of yourself. There'll be times that you will not only let yourself down, but to be quite honest with you, there may be times that you'll even let God down and do something or say something you wish you had not have done. If you don't believe that happens, then just follow people around driving a little while. And you'll see a reason to get upset and think things you ought not to think. Amen. It happens every day of our life. But regardless of what comes our way, God is performing in us. God is performing. God is a performer that all of us can be proud of. As a matter of fact, God is more eloquent in His performance than any gospel singer you've ever heard stand upon a platform. God is more expressive than any poet that you'll ever read after as you love poetry and enjoy reading it. God is more dramatic than any opera singer that has ever graced the stage of an opera house. God is more anointed than any preacher that has ever stood behind a wooden pulpit. God is a performer tonight. And I know that every one of us sitting in this room have heroes in our lives. Can I just say to you tonight, Hollywood is not a hero to a child of God. New York is not a hero to a child of God. But this week there'll be men and ladies of God that'll grace our church and show their presence in this place. Some of them, we cannot hardly wait to hear them preach. I stood yesterday and gave testimony of my most memorable time here at Grace Baptist Church and camp meeting. And I said that I remember the night I preached on the tater chip message. And God just broke out in that upper room before this building was even built. And I remember after that sermon thinking, the service is done. It's over with. God has met with us. But Brother Bob Ferguson got up and preached after I did. Must have been somewhere around 11 o'clock. And preached a message on the sheep and the shepherd. I'll never forget it, how God broke out 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember the little steps that came down from the upper room, and people were standing out there talking at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't mind telling you that Bob Ferguson is one of my heroes. I love him, and I have always enjoyed hearing Brother Bob preach. I love Brother Kenan Roark. I love to hear him preach, and I love to see the way God anoints him. I notice when Brother Kenan starts out preaching, it takes him 5 minutes to say 3 words. He just real slow getting in to the Word of God. But it doesn't take very long to Brother Kenan's in full gear. And every time I hear Brother Lawrence call his name out to come and preach, I kind of wring my hand. Thank God. To be honest with you, I've never heard the man preach a bad sermon. It seems like every time he gets up, he's got the anointing of God upon his life. He's one of my heroes. I could name others that have had an influence. I could stand here and tell you about Brother Noah Broughton. He's my preacher, the pastor of my family, and I love him. But I still believe he's one of the greatest preachers that I've ever had the privilege to hear. I love my preacher. But could I tell you tonight, regardless of who I mention, regardless of who your hero is, it's the success of that individual is not about themselves. But the success of that individual is because there is a God in heaven that is simply performing through them. And I thank God for it. Because to be honest with you, some of us in this room, God has brought us a long way. A very long way. For some sitting in this room tonight used to live with a can of Bud Dummer and Miller Lowlife in their hand. In this new generation, it's not about drinking, but it's about drugs. There's some sitting in here that found themselves addicted to drugs. And yet here they sit in the house of God tonight. We could stand up and talk about how proud we are of them, but it's not about them tonight, but it's about a God in heaven, hallelujah, That's a performing in their life and making them what they are today. You owe your very success, the secret to your success is this performer. And God is always on the job. Whether I wake up at midnight or I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I find that He's always awake. I'll get ahead of myself a little bit, but in a few minutes I'll talk to you about Elijah. And I remember when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. And Elijah cried out and said, "Cry a little louder. He may be on a journey. Perhaps he sleepeth." And he began to mock them and make fun of them. But I'm glad that our performer never sleeps. I'm glad our performer's never been on a journey. I'm glad, thank God, that our performer works in our life every day. And that He will continue to work until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Very simply put, it means you're going to make it. You're not going to fail. You're not going to come short. I remember when I got saved, one verse that stood out in my heart was that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I thought about coming short. It's like trying to leap over a pavilion. It's trying to cross over a gorge and leap to the other side. To be able to save yourself, to be able to make yourself a fit subject, to be able to make yourself a good spouse or a good child, you would have to leap from one side to the other. But according to that verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every time that I would do good, evil is present. There's battles that take place in my life. There's trials that I go through. But thank, blessed be the name of God tonight, I have a performer in my life. And he performs every day. Whomever your hero is tonight, and you don't have to look at them with such adoration that you think they're bigger than I am, they're beyond my abilities. Because they have the same performer that you do. I'm glad we have a performer tonight. I read where that David was known as the baby of the family. The least of all the brothers and the sons of Jesse. The Bible said that he was fair to look upon and of a ruddy countenance. Or in other words, David was one of those type of men that if you were out on the playground and you were picking a basketball team, he would be the very last one picked. The Bible said that he had minimum responsibilities. The only job that he had was to tend a few sheep. But war broke out between the Philistines and the Israelites. The three elder sons of Jesse went to the battle. And when they went to the battle, one day Jesse comes to David and said, "I want you to take these provisions to your brothers and to their captain and give to them and see how the battle is going." What nobody knows, very few people understand, is that David has been secretly anointed king of Israel. God has laid His hand upon a young man that no one thought had the ability to rise to his position. And David, the Bible said, made haste and had his servant bring the chariot They got into the chariot, went down to where the battle was. The very first thing David saw was a giant of a man standing down in a valley between two mountains. And he was, according to our dimensions, probably somewhere around 9.5 foot tall. And he defied the armies of Israel and said to them, "Send me down a man that I may do battle with him. And if he prevail, we will become your servants. But if I prevail and kill him, then you will become our servants." When little David looked around, fear had gripped the entire nation of Israel. You know, the Bible said that King Saul was head and shoulders above all the other Jews. He was a big man himself, but yet he was afraid to go down and face this giant of a man. The Bible said that David inquired, and I'll paraphrase, but he said, "Why don't somebody go down and shut him up?" And he said, "What shall be done to the man that fights with this man?" They said, "Well, first of all, he'll have great treasure. He shall have the king's daughter to be his wife, and his family will be set free." That meant they won't have to pay taxes. They won't have to be enslaved to do certain jobs. They would be free. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" Preachers all over have preached on that verse. There is a cause. And I submit to you tonight, there is a cause. The first thing that happened when David agreed to go was King Saul put his own armor on little David. I wish I could illustrate it to you tonight, but can you imagine when Saul put that breastplate upon David and the weight of it buckled his little knees? It was so heavy that no doubt David was not able to go with that breastplate upon his body. When he placed the helmet upon his head, it must have sunk so far down that it covered his eyes and he couldn't even see. David said, "I cannot go with these, for I have not yet proved them." So he took the armor off and did one of the most strangest military strategies you'll ever read in your Bible. For he had a little sling with him. And he reached down in a brook and carefully chose 5 smooth stones and gathered those stones and took his sling and went down to face this giant of a man. If you know anything about the Philistine army, you know that in their armor was so designed that there was only one place of vulnerability in the front of the helmet, so the eyes would be clear to see. There was an opening just between the eyes. The Bible said that David chose his sling. He got his stone. He began to twirl the stone and finally released it. And guess what? The stone struck in the only vulnerable place on that Philistine's body and struck him between the eyes. The Bible said that he fell down upon the ground. Little David, that no one else had confidence in, runs out, takes the sword, and chops his head off in front of everyone. Now, I want to ask you a question. If David were to walk in this room tonight, and David came down the aisle and sat on that front pew, no doubt in my heart, all of us would agree, Brother Hatfield, sit down. We want to hear what David's got to say. If I seen him coming, I would sit down immediately and say, David's here. We're going to hear how David defeated the giant. We're going to hear how David loved God. We're going to hear how David was the greatest king Israel ever had. David is this, David is that. But can I tell you tonight, it's not about David. It's not about David. David was ruddy. David was fair countenance. But it's the fact that David had a performer in his life. And that same performer is working in you tonight. I'm glad that what the God that made David a success in his life, that same God is working in your life in this room tonight. Can I do what God has asked me to do? It's all right to be nervous. It's all right to doubt. As a matter of fact, last night one of the brothers met me out in the foyer and he talked about when I said that Levite made the first step down in that Jordan River. And he said, Brother Hatfield, if he had not have been nervous, it would not have been a step of faith. And I said, Amen. It's all right to even doubt if you can do what God's asked you to do. He said, how come, Brother Hatfield? Because it's not about you. It's about the performer tonight that has proven himself and has a track record of success, thank God. And David, if he could stand tonight, would say it's all about Him. He made me what I am. He brought me as far as I went. David made mistakes, and we dealt with that yesterday. His adultery with Bathsheba, his murder of Uriah. I'm not talking about someone who was perfect and rose to fame. But I'm talking about God taking a simple, ordinary human being and making them to become something special. My heroes sit in pews. My heroes are not ones that get up behind pulpits and people brag on their preaching. But my hero is someone that comes Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday. They drop their tithes in. They drop their offerings in. They've got a good spirit about them and a good attitude about the church. And if a board needs nailing up, they'll be one of the first ones there with a hammer. What is it, Brother Hatfield? It's not about them. It's about a God in heaven performing in their life. As a matter of fact, God will make you look good if you'll let Him. God will take you further than you ever dreamed you could go. God will get more out of you than you ever dreamed your abilities would accomplish. God is a performer. Elijah met with the prophets of Baal. Elijah was a minority. For all the altars have been torn down by Ahab. And the forsaking of the house of God. It was a time when the people were in a strait, wondering who is the
the real God? Who do we serve? When you think about Israel, you think about a nation that has always loved God, but they've had their times. One of the great, or the greatest time of spiritual struggle was a time when they nailed God Himself to an old rugged cross. Someone asked Mel Gibson the question, "Who killed Jesus?" And he refused to answer. Whether it was the Romans or whether it was the Jews. But I know the Jews cried out and said, "Let His blood be upon our hands and upon our children." Elijah was a man of God that was a minority of his day, but he loved God and wanted to see God exalted. So Elijah said, "Let's find out who God is." Today, if we wanted to find out who God is, we as fundamentalists would want to have a preaching contest. We'd say whoever can preach the best, that must be the one that has the true God. That isn't how Elijah handled it. Elijah said, "Let's have a praying contest. Let's see if there's a God that can answer by fire." He said to the prophets of Baal, "Build an altar." And I like what Elijah said. And he said, "I'll restore God's altar." And he did his work. The prophets of Baal erected their altar. And the groundwork was, "Let us cut up a bullock and place it upon the altar, but put no fire under that altar." And the prophets of Baal were first to go. And they begin to pray their prayers and chant their chants. You probably, like me, I've heard liberals pray before. Amen. They probably got lace on their underwear. Bunch of mandy-pandy little sissies that aren't man enough to stand up for the glory of God. By the way, I'm not ashamed. I'm one of those that still loves my old King James Bible. I'm going to give my life for it. A man, a liberal, asked me the other day, he said, "What'd you do before you had a King James?" Amen. Good answer. I said, "Bless God, we had a Tyndale Bible. We had a Matthew's Bible." There never been a time that God did not give His people the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of my Bible. I refuse to own a Bible that has profanity in it. Amen. That's free. I'm not going to charge you for that part. That's not in my outline. That just came out of me. I love my Bible, thank God. Elijah said, "Let's have a praying contest." So the prophets of Baal began to pray, "Oh God." They probably, instead of saying "far" like you and I do, they probably said some "fire." "We desire some fire." But no fire came. You know why? Because there's no Baal. There is no Baal. No matter how many religions will raise their head upon the face of this earth, there's only one God. And thank God tonight for the privilege of growing up in America where we heard the truth. that God is a Trinity, a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the least known of the three, yet the only one that actually dwells within us. He's in there. He's in me. I'm not a great preacher, but sometimes He even makes me look good. Hallelujah to God. He makes you look good when you stand to testify and your hands are sweating and you wonder, what will I say? Hope I don't stick my foot in my mouth. But you go ahead and take a step of faith and stand for His glory. And the performer makes you look good. Hallelujah. Alone about the evening sacrifice. Elijah's mocking. He's making fun of them. And they say we ought not to talk against Islam. They say we ought not to be derogatory toward Buddhists. But Elijah made fun. Elijah mocked them. He knew he had the only true living God. I don't know if you ever noticed 1 Kings 18, but Elijah's entire prayer is two verses. He didn't get up and give a great oracle. He didn't stand up to promote his education. If you read those two verses, he very simply, in paraphrasing, said, I need some fire, God. Right over there. And the Bible said, in two verses of prayer, that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice, burn up the wood, annihilated the stones, and licked up the water that was pouring in the trench. God answered by fire. If Elijah were to come through those doors, and Elijah said upon this pew, someone would say, Brother Hatfield, stop preaching. Let Elijah speak for a while. I would be the first one to sit down. And I would say, we want to hear how God did in your life. But to be quite honest with you, it's not about Elijah. It's not about Elijah. But it's about the performer that worked in his life. There is no telling how far God will take Grace Baptist Church. There is no telling what great things God has in store for this church if we will just let Him be the performer. People amaze me wanting their way. People amaze me how they'll split a church sometimes wanting their way. But it isn't about you. It isn't about your desire. But it's about the performer. Rahab hid the spies. And I could stand and go into the discourse of Rahab. I know you've heard it. How she hid those spies and let down the men by a cord unto the ground so they could flee to safety. And the men said, leave the cord in the window. When we come back and see it, all your families in the house, their lives will be preserved. There's only one problem with that. Rahab, in our Bible, is called the harlot. Most churches today would not even allow her to sit on their pew. A lot of churches would be offended if she tried to stand and say something in the house of God. Rahab the harlot. Yet we go to the New Testament and we begin to read the lineage of Christ. And guess whose name, thank God, is in the lineage of Christ? Rahab the harlot. How come, Brother Hatfield? Because it's not about Rahab. It's about this performer that's working in her life. There was a Moabite woman by the name of Ruth. We would not want our son to date her. She was, to a Jew, an outcast. One that was completely forbidden to fellowship with. And yet you know the story, how Elimelech and Naomi left their land. And their two sons ended up marrying Moabite women. One of them was Ruth. And when it came that the two sons died and the husband died, and Naomi's going back home, and she entreats her daughter-in-laws to go back to your land. Orpha went back, but Ruth said, "Aught but death part you and I. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." But she said something that really struck my heart tonight as I studied. She said, "And thy God shall be my God." Not bad for an outcast woman. Not bad for one that the church people refuse to fellowship with. And again, you go to the New Testament and you read of the lineage of Christ. There's the name Ruth. How come? Because it's not about Ruth. It's about the performer that's working in her life. I have others. Noah, Moses, Saul of Tarshish. Tonight I'm like the old preacher that preached for about 4 hours and then realized he left Isaiah out. And the old preacher said, "And what shall I do with Isaiah?" And one man stood up and said, "He held my seat. I'm going home." I think you get my message tonight. There's no reason to go on. Blessed be God. That same performer is working in us today. It's not a new thing, but it's the same God. You'll never know what all God can get out of you until you allow Him to perform in your life. Let's stand and bow for prayer.